Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on this good, good Friday. And we're going to switch gears now. We have spent, and I really didn't expect it to go that viral, but we spent the last 2 hours talking about faith and politics. And no, I do not believe they are mutually exclusive. But thank you to all of you who contributed some content to that. And there's a bunch of text messages I still haven't gotten to, and I will get to those in a moment. But right now, we're going to switch gears. I'm going to bring on somebody who I have become really fond of, Hannah Stevens, long known as the... You give me the whoop-whoops. We got whoop-whoops from the crowd over here, Big Rig hitting the button. Hannah Stevens was long known as the UA sign girl, and she became known as a sports commentator in her own right. And we've got her coming on periodically now to start talking with us about what we call right sports. So, Hannah Stevens, how are you doing on this Good Friday?
I am doing well. How are you doing today, Phil?
I am good. I think you're doing better than I am because I'm an Auburn fan, and they got beaten by an Ivy League team, and yet you guys beat UNC last night. You want to start with that one?
Absolutely. I was saying, you know, with you, like, it's mind-blowing because you think of the fact that I flew out to L.A. for the Rose Bowl, and we lost to a team that I thought we had easily beat, and then our basketball team goes to L.A., and they do what the football team can't, and that is win. So I am so glad that last night we ended up with a victory. And I'll tell you this, out of all the teams that I was like Alabama's going to struggle against, North Carolina was number one on my list because they're big, they're tall, they're fast, and, you know, we just – anyway, we can go into more in depth, but yes, I am very happy. I'm on cloud nine. Well, I guess I'd say cloud eight, right? Because now we're in the Elite Eight. So
that's
I'm on cloud
true.
Eight.
I mean, I think, too, that UNC is kind of like – and I hate to say this. I'm an Auburn fan. I hate to say this. But they're kind of like to college basketball what Alabama has been to football. They're a legacy team. They're a team that has
Absolutely.
A long history, and just knowing they're on the court with you, they bring a gravitas that's based upon long history of championship and good coaching and good players. And and a lot of brackets got busted last night.
Oh, yeah. And – yeah, I mean, I'll tell you this. I thought it was all around the best game Alabama's played all year. And I'll be honest with you, I was really glad we played DCU how we did when it was scrappy because I feel like it kind of put us on another level. And it helped us, I think, realize how poorly we've done with rebounding, especially defensive rebounds, how poorly we've done with fundamentals, dribbling, securing the ball, and how poorly we've done and just having a good game flow. And I feel like last night, finally, thank the Lord, every single piece kind of clicked together, and it was like a beautiful picture. And we were able to shoot well. We were able to, you know, have good defensive rebounds. Especially, I'll say this, the way that we came out in the second half is the team that I think Alabama fans knew this team could be but hadn't seen them so far. So the second half version of this Alabama team was the team I and everyone else in – yelling Roll Tide and wearing crimson and white, we're looking forward to seeing all season.
So who they got next? They got, was it Clemson next in the Elite Eight? Are they playing next? Oh, Lord.
I know. Everyone's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, my word, it's like a football rematch. It's kind of, I saw a funny, because I made this tweet that was saying that the last time Alabama was in the Elite Eight, Mark Sears and Grant Nelson were 2 years old. You have Estrada, who was three months old, and then Sam Walters was not even born yet. I mean, you have some of these players that literally were not alive when Alabama made it to the Elite Eight in 2004. So, yeah, the fact that we're in it playing Clemson, it's just funny because it's like it sounds like a football rematch. But I'm here for it. I mean, and I'll say this, if there's by chance Grant Nelson listening to this, he played the game of his life. Last night was his legacy game.
Yeah.
Last night was his NBA draft stock rise. And, I mean, I am just so – like, I'm so pumped for not only how well he played, but how Pringle came out, even with a bruised heel, and just put on a defensive show. I mean, his defense, Grant Nelson's shot, I mean, that's what secured the victory for Alabama.
Well,
so, I'm excited for Clemson.
You had Latrell Weitzel was out, too, wasn't he, with an injury?
And yes.
So you were down a
man. Yeah, a starter, nonetheless. I mean, a guy who really has been the glue for this team, and for him to be ruled out officially, I mean, it was very nerve-wracking. But I said to, I said on a radio, a podcast earlier this week, that if we can win a game even without him, this team can win a national championship, because it shows a versatile team, and teams were preparing for Reitzel, and when he didn't get to play, that kind of was the unknown factor. Who was going to take a spot, and how was it going to work? And I think it worked well.
Well, that's crazy, because a lot of times you don't see an injury being something that might give you a leg up, but that's kind of funny you say that. All right, well, let me ask you this. I want to switch gears slightly. In sticking with basketball, but Caitlin Clark, I mean, I'm just really becoming aware, because I'll be honest with you, I don't follow women's basketball, but she is a star in her own right, and she was just offered, like, first of all, if you know anything about this big three that Ice Cube is putting together, she just got a $5 million offer to play ball at the next level for some new league called Big Three that a rap star is putting together. What the heck?
Yep. Well, I'll say this. There's something you just said, I think, really the whole point of women's basketball is you never really watched it, and then Caitlin Clark came around and everyone started watching. Because, I mean, you know, when you look at history, you have Lisa Leslie, you have Candace Parkers, you have big-name basketball players that over the years have performed so well. But a couple of things about Caitlin Clark. She came from a school that was not necessarily known as being a basketball
school. Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like if you had, you know, someone that went to Vanderbilt and was a quarterback that threw for several thousand yards one season. You're like, wait, where is this kid playing? You know, and it is brought, she helped with recruiting. She's helped with NIL deals. And she's going to go down as one of the greatest college female basketball players of all time. And I love watching her play. And I have some friends that think she is arrogant and egotistical. But I say this, if we saw a man play the way she does and had the tenacity and the attitude she does, it would be confident. It would be, oh my word, he is amazing. But because it's a female, it's not taken that way. But for her to get this opportunity to make this amount of money, and I'll say this too, as a female athlete, we've always had the shorter hand, right? We've always been dealt, I mean, the women's soccer, that was something they fought for years, for the USA to pay them the same. But my point is that with Caitlin Clark, she has the opportunity to make more in a different opportunity, make sometimes double or triple what the WNBA players are playing, or, you know, they're getting paid to play. And so for her, it's a really good opportunity to start something new, be the face of the, you know, this opportunity, so to speak, this new league, and make a lot of money doing it. So, I mean, she has a hard choice to make, but I'm excited for her.
So if you know, what is this Big Three league? Is it like LIV Golf is to the PGA? I mean, is it a competitive, like, opposite league, or is it something totally different?
Well, I think they're kind of figuring that out. I mean, I think it's kind of like, I don't know if you know, with the football going on, they've had to combine the USFL and all the,
and the XFL, you know, all
they combine them to prevent the league. I think that they're trying to make this kind of like a different version of a professional level without being the G League, right? Like, they're wanting to have another opportunity for players to make it to the next level. And this is, women's sports is definitely one that lacks opportunity, because more women, I'll use Brittany Griner for an example. People wonder why she goes across the world to play professional sports, is because they get paid way more money to go play professional ball, and then they come back here for the WNBA season. The same thing with Olympic athletes. Olympic athletes go across the country, make a lot of money, and then come back and play the USA Olympic team stuff, right? So for Caitlin Clark, if she wanted to, I mean, I don't know the legalities of this yet, and they haven't really had the boundaries and rules, but I don't think it would be against the idea of her being able to play in two different leagues. So depending when they play and how they play and what rules are going to be in effect, I mean, Caitlin Clark could be making, you know, $10 to $15 million a year just getting paid to play. That's without endorsements. That's without her, you know, all the deals she's going to get.
Yeah, but, I saw too that the Big Three is actually a 3-on-3 league. Is that right?
Yes. But they're trying, my point is, with it being a different level, it's not like it's someone wanting to play NBA and play on the Olympic team at the exact same time, when it's the exact same time of year.
Gotcha.
So for her, I'm not sure she couldn't do both.
I got you.
And you know, I mean, there's a chance she could also do the, you know, do another international league. So I have no idea what she's going to decide to do. But, I mean, she's changed the game of college sports for females, and she's helped garner so much NIL money for female athletes. And, I mean, Juju Lewis is a female basketball player for USC. And what she's been able to do on the court, I mean, because of Caitlin Clark bringing spotlight onto women's basketball, other women, other female athletes are getting eyes put on them that otherwise they wouldn't have if Caitlin Clark wasn't a legend she is.
All right. Well, listen, we're almost up against a break right here. I got about a minute. When we come back from the break, too, I'm going to want to talk about Shohei Ohtani in golf and get your thoughts on what he's going through right now. But let me ask you real quickly, with about a – well, do we even have a minute? I'll tell you what. Let's take the break right now. Let's do that. Otherwise, I'm going to run out of time when we come back. So you hang tight. Hannah Stevens, UA Sign Girl. We're talking about some right sports, y'all. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll come right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making it cool to be a conservative. Going back to the phones right now with our friend Hannah Stevens, the UA Sign Girl, talking about some right sports. Hannah, you had one more quick thing about Big Three basketball. What was that about?
Yes, I stand corrected. I thought I was right, but I didn't want to sound stupid. But I am correct. It's going to be an opportunity for Big Three. Ice Cube's whole proposal with this is it removes the opportunity or removes the idea of female athletes having to travel across the world to play. So they'll still be able to play in the WNBA where they average around $300,000 to $400,000 a year to play.
Yeah.
And this will be a fill-in gap for them to get paid overseas. They can stay in America.
Cool. Okay. All right. Good deal. Well, speaking of being in America, Shohei Ohtani is like just becoming a legend in his own right in baseball. And yet he's got a super huge scandal going on right now and he's Japanese and he's like an animal when it comes to playing. I mean, his stats are unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So Shohei Ohtani playing for the Dodgers now has got an interpreter who apparently had a gambling issue. At least that's the story. I mean, I look at Pete Rose, still can't be inducted into the Hall of Fame because he was gambling on baseball, and yet we got Shohei Ohtani, who is now paying off millions to the bookies for his interpreter, allegedly. What do you know about this?
Yeah, I know about as much as you do on this situation. I mean, I think it's one of those things where the less we know, it makes it real. You realize how bad it really is. And, I mean, you kind of got a feel for the guy, right? I mean, you just don't exactly know, and I like him. You know, like he's a legend. He's a you know, from all we know, a great guy. But yeah, I mean, if this is actually a thing, I mean, then opinions are certainly going to change. But for me, I mean, if there's one thing I've learned, Phil, in the broadcasting world, I don't know how many times I've had the opportunity to break a story that I knew in my gut something was not right, whether it was good or bad. Something just wasn't the full story. And I've bitten my tongue, didn't say anything, and 95% of the times I'm glad I did because I didn't have the full story. So, you know, it's kind of hard in the social media world and realm because people make opinions and accusations without knowing the full story. So is it as bad as we think? I don't know. So only time's going to be able to tell, but I'm really hoping that maybe there's just some miscommunication, so to speak, and what's actually going on.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. And miscommunication, obviously, I mean, he comes here, but surely to goodness he knew what was legal and what wasn't. Pete Rose, I think most of the world is ready to see Pete Rose inducted. I mean, let's go ahead and just quit pretending that was as big a deal as they say it was. I mean,
the inductions are all political. It's really bothersome how they do that. And, you know, who says what and who gets, I mean, there are people that should be that aren't and that are that shouldn't be. I mean, it's just not a fair game.
Well, speaking of true goats, the greatest of all time, as hard as it is for me to say it, I do know that Coach Saban is one of the greatest coaches to ever. But what cracked me up, and I want to end on this if you don't mind, unless you got something else you want to throw in. But Fox News ran a story that talked about basically how he's trying to figure out life now in retirement. Like he's having to actually do his own shopping and do emails for the first time ever. What do you know about this?
Well, I mean, I'll say this. When you are as big of a face as you are in a town that's not massively big. I mean, Nick Saban couldn't do normal things in Tuscaloosa. I mean, if he went to public, someone's going to send a picture on Twitter or Facebook, and, you know, the whole town's going to show up. So, I mean, when you are in retirement, I mean, Nick Saban's kind of learning how to live his life again. And I'll say this. I showed my best friend a picture of him just the other day, and I said, look how happy he looks. I mean, he had the golf team over at his house in Jupiter, Florida. I mean, you can see the, you know, you can see the relaxation on his face. You can see how much less stressed he is, and I'm here for it. I mean, I was really bummed when he retired, but getting to see this man spend time with his children and his grandchildren, get to go grocery shopping, and, I mean, his vacation home, Phil, people don't know, people down there probably don't even watch football. They don't know who he is from, you know, another man at the store. So for him to be able to go somewhere where not everyone's going to be obsessed with him, I think is a breath of fresh air for him. I mean, it's funny to hear the stories because you're thinking he didn't know how to write a check. He didn't know how to get his medicine filled. But it's logical when you think about for the last 20, 30, 40 years, he's been a celebrity in every town he's lived in.
Okay, so but you, finally, you know him personally, too. Ahead. Did he never send you an email?
Yes. No. And I'll say this. It's funny because I know that Terry is so good with communication stuff, but they both have assistants. So, I mean, you know, it's not unfeasible for him. And I'll just tell you this. Looking at anyone at that age on a phone or a laptop, they're about one word per minute. I mean, it's just like the fingers, the finger pecking they do on the keyboard to send an email. So for him, it's probably logical that he never sent an email because he didn't have time to do it. He didn't have 20, 30 minutes to sit down and type up an email. He had, you know, he was efficient. I mean, he had to go from meeting to meeting to meeting every day. So, you know, I'm here for it. I like I said, I was really bummed and crushed when I got the news he was retiring, but it's worth it now because, well, Kalen DeBoer is the best fit in the program, the process, in the dynasty at Alabama, while Nick Saban gets to live the life, let's just be honest, he totally deserves. And he worked hard for.
Good enough, my friend. Well, listen, we're out of time, but as always, we appreciate you. Look forward to doing more with you here in the very near future. And you have a great
Absolutely.
Easter weekend, all right?
You too. Y'all as well. Happy Easter.
All right, we'll see you. Hannah Stevens, Wright Sports. Yeah. Stay tuned. We may have some announcements coming up about more content with her in the near future. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.